وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you, Mawlana, and accept all your sacrifices for His Mubarak Deen. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, we were discussing a story of a very, very pious person who was stranded, you know, after a shipwreck. And then when he was found drifting after 2 days in a semi-conscious state, then he was tossed ashore. And then they took him to a house, the people who found him. And he expressed heartfelt thanks to them for saving his life. And alhamdulillah, due to the loving concern of the brothers there, he soon returned to normal, mentally and physically. So he says, I began to attend masjid to offer my regular prayers, and there I came to know many persons of nobility and of high ranking positions. They all knew my unhappy episode, though my host treated him with a lot of kindness, understanding and respect. So one of them was aged and a pious sheikh. His name was Ahmad bin Suhail, who usually led the prayers. So he always greeted me with a fatherly affection which touched me to the heart. So one day he was a little late to arrive at the masjid, so the people requested me to lead the prayers. My hesitation and excuses proved to be useless before their sincere appeals. So that day I performed the duties of Imam. I did my best to recite clearly the verses of the Holy Quran during the prayer and afterwards delivered a brief sermon on Islamic law. So everyone seemed to be highly impressed. So Sheikh Ahmad bin Suhail came forward and he congratulated me on my excellent performance. I thanked him for his appreciation and encouragement. I came back to the house of my host filled with delight and self-confidence. But later I had sometimes thought that I had overstayed my welcome. So after the evening prayers, I stated my intention of leaving. But my host disagreed with me. He wanted me to stay for a few more days to recoup my health fully. So at night, when I was going to bed, Sheikh Ahmad bin Suhail came with a few respectable people of the town. The friends of Faleh Hassan, who were my saviors, were also with them. So when the preliminary formalities of greeting each other were over and all were comfortably seated, Sheikh Ahmad turned his eyes towards me and said, Dear Abu Bakr, I have been honored by these gentlemen to speak to you on behalf of them about their commendable wish. I expect you to please assent to it. I was perplexed by that kind of address, so I said nervously, Sir, you are very helpful and kind to me. I cannot disregard any of your commands or wishes. You can order me to do anything, and it will be an honor for me to obey it. So he said, Dear son, we all earnestly desire to stay here with us forever. The regular imam of our masjid had died last year. We will mourn his death and perhaps will do so forever. His respect is deeply rooted in our hearts. He had enlightened our lives with a torch of knowledge. We wish you to take his place and consent to be our imam. We may not be able to offer you a better paid position than that of the Qazi in Kurtuba, but we will surely give you our love, affection, and respect. But now he protested and he said, I am a fresh, inexperienced student and feel small to carry out the sacred duties of the high office of imam. So the sheikh said, My son, do not underestimate yourself. We all have heard your recitation and sermon, and are fully convinced of your ability to fulfill those responsibilities. Before I could think of any evasive answer, my host, Fali Hassan, and his friends vehemently backed up the proposal, so I was left with no other alternative but to nod in the affirmative. So everybody was pleased with my decision, especially Sheikh Ahmed, who thanked me and kissed my forehead. So they all rose to leave and thanking me individually and departed very happy. They left me thinking how the secret hands of fate change the course of destiny in a secret manner. Circumstances secretly take such a turn that they altogether change the plans made up by man. So I had cherished the hope of being a Qazi of Qurtuba and had taken steps to attain that goal, but preordained events made me an Imam of the Masjid in Hudaydah. So a new phase in my life began. I took charge of the imposed position and shifted to the assigned house of the Imam. I restarted the primary school that had closed due to the sad demise of the former Imam. I also commenced evening classes to impart lessons to explain the meaning of the Holy Quran. I completely adjusted myself to the new environment and people generally accepted me as their religious leader. I was very content and never for a moment regretted my decision to settle here. All the people, young and old alike, were happy and they respected me. The feelings of any estrangement all faded away and I became as if I was one of them for ages. So one day, a Sheikh Ahmed came to me and after inquiring about my welfare, he said, "Ji Abu Bakr, your services to our townsmen are praiseworthy and beyond our expectations. I am glad that you had accepted our offer of staying with us. Now I have come to you to ask for one more favor." So I said, "Sir, I am at your service. Please tell me and I will comply with your order." He said, "Dear son, a man is not perfect without his partner of life. I want you to marry and take full advantage of life. Marriage is also a sacred sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sweet marital responsibilities are a real blessing which have been conferred onto men." So I replied, "Sir, you have always advised me in my best interest. I take you as a father to me, and in this matter also, I will follow your advice." So the Sheikh said, "Your predecessor, the late Imam of this masjid, was a very close friend of mine. He had a daughter, and when he was sure of his end, he entrusted her to my protection and care. Since then, she has been under my guardianship. She's lovable, and she's a very adorable girl of good manners. So, although Allah has endowed her with physical and mental beauty, she is virtuous and is a suitable match for you. I wish to give her in marriage to you, and I feel sure that it will be a marriage of true minds." So, I had no objection to the proposal whatsoever. A few days later, the bonds of marriage united us. So, after the festive ceremonies were over, Sheikh Ahmed escorted her to my house. That was in fact her old abode where she had lived with her late father. I looked at her and my gaze was concentrated steadily on her. I forgot to even say welcome to her. I was not only looking at her beautiful and charming face and her downcast eyes, but my glance was riveted upon her pretty neck, which was ornamented by precious pearls. I at once recognized that necklace. It was the same necklace that I once found on a deserted road of Makkah Mukarramah. Then he says, "I looked at her in silent and open-mouthed wonder. Sheikh Ahmed noticed my confused condition and thought that her beauty and luster of the pearls had enchanted me. He politely said, 'Dear Abu Bakr, that necklace and its wearer both are yours now and you can take all your time to behold them. It may perhaps interest you to know that the necklace has a strange story of its own. 5 years ago, my friend went to Makkah Mukarramah for pilgrimage and took that necklace with him to get it repolished. There he lost it. But due to the goodness of an honest young man, He recovered it intact. That commendable young man refused to sell his honesty and declined the pressing offer of a handsome reward. He left a lasting impression upon my friend, who always remembered and talked about him. He once confided to me that he had a mind to go to Makkah Mukarrama again and ask that virtuous young man to accept the hand of his daughter, but time did not allow him to do so. So anyhow, it was designed differently. His daughter was to become your wife, and the decreed decisions of fate are strange and beyond the understanding of man. So an emotional storm erupted within me. The strange happenings of the fateful events which were unfolded by the hidden hands of destiny agitated me, and drops of tears rolled down my cheeks. I looked towards Sheikh Ahmed through misty eyes and said, "Dear sir, you are very right to say that insight into the unknown mysteries of fate is not possible. It would perhaps be a pleasant surprise to know that I am the same person who found the necklace and restored it to your friend." So he in return offered me an amount of 500 dinars. Although I was a pauper and was suffering from the agonies of hunger in those days, my conscience did not allow me to accept anything that was not my due. I pinned all my hopes and expectations for any reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here I am with his gracious and greatest reward of all. So Sheikh Ahmed was amazed, and without saying a word, he held my hand and shook it with passion. My newly wedded wife lifted her eyes and looked at me full in the face. Her eyes were filled with enthusiastic love than any husband could ever desire for. Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had bestowed upon me his favors by giving me a considerate and loving wife, and nothing in life surpasses that bliss. So what a beautiful story of honesty, that in the end the rewards were so great. And whenever sometimes you're faced with a situation in life, then istafti qalbak, you know, ask your heart, because your heart will be, you know, the best guide to you as well, as in the case of this young man Abu Bakr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the hidayah to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.